This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these spring months, we've had the privilege of conversing with remarkable individuals. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we're heading to Utah to talk to an amazing guest. Her name is Mac, and you can follow her outdoor adventures on Instagram at Explore and Hike. Mac shares with us some of her favorite places in and around Utah, including Antelope Island State Park. She also shares with us her experiences visiting all of Utah's Mighty Five in a single year, and her special adventure pump that joins her on many of her hikes. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Mac. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to go back down to Utah and talk to a special guest today. Her name is Mac. She's going to be sharing about all the beautiful sights and sounds that she's been able to see there in Utah. Mac, thank you for joining us on the podcast. For listeners that haven't had a chance to follow you on social media, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm so excited. But yeah, I am in the heart of Utah. I'm in the Salt Lake City area. I didn't grow up here, although I have lived here for a little bit of my life. I actually grew up out of the Dallas area in Texas for most of my childhood growing up. And then I moved here for college, and that's kind of when my whole outdoor journey really started. Even then, I wasn't quite sure where I was yet or who I was yet. So I did go back to the South in Oklahoma for a year and a half for college. That's when I really understood how much I loved the mountains and missed the beautiful state of Utah. So I did move back. I've moved back and forth a lot, it seems, but I have been in Utah now for 7-8-ish years. But yeah, I love all things outdoors. My husband and I live up here. Some of our family's here, some still in Texas. We both love to do all kinds of outdoors things. We like to go fishing, camping, hiking, of course. My husband is a big hunter, so I do hunt with him quite often as well. Last year, we dived into paddleboarding, and we like to take our dog everywhere, so he's our companion on most everything we do. We also have chickens at home, so we're big pet people. But yeah, as far as everything else, I have basically came to college here, and I don't think I'll ever leave.
Oh, that's amazing, Mac. Yeah, you really have explored different areas of Utah that I wasn't aware of. Like I kind of said before we started recording, I've mostly been familiar with southern portion of the state, but the geographic areas that you've shown in and around Salt Lake City are just magical. You know, one of the first questions we always like to ask our guests is how long they've been hiking for and how they kind of got started.
So as I said, I moved back to Utah this most recent time, about 7 to 8 years ago. It was kind of in the middle of starting my life in college that I delved into the outdoors a little bit on my own. I had grown up being outdoorsy with my family. I'm the oldest of 5 kids, so my family was pretty active. We would go on bike rides a lot, outdoor walks, hiking. When we lived in Texas, we would always visit here in the summers to visit family, and just because this was such a familiar area for my parents that grew up here. So when we came in the summers, we would hike all the time. And I've been familiar with the trails and kind of the area of Utah as a young child, due to that. But yeah, in college is when I really started hiking on my own. When my husband and I got our dog, we just wanted to start taking him outside a lot and show him parts of the world. So as silly as that sounds, that's kind of how we also started seeing the world, was we wanted our dog to be active, and that kind of got us outside a lot more on different walks and trying to find new places to hike around or just walk to. And yeah, so that's when I started taking him out on kind of solo hiking trails. And then every week I would try to go out on Fridays, and that became my weekly ritual. Was my favorite day of the week is Fridays. I don't have school, I don't have work. So that's my special day with me and just my pup on the trails. And that was about, yeah, probably almost 7 years ago, 6-7 years ago is when I started hiking regularly. And now it's something I do as much as I can, hopefully a few times a week at least.
Right on. You know, one thing I'm curious about, because I've known Salt Lake City for their ski resorts that are close by. What is the local hiking scene and trail systems like in your neck of the woods?
It's really great. I feel like it's very diverse. We really have a lot of steeper terrain, I think, compared to a lot of places, just because you start from the bottom and then you just go up as far as you want in all these local mountains. The range of mountains that we kind of huddle right in front of is the Wasatch Range, which covers northern Ogden all the way down south. Ogden to Payson is kind of my usual range cutoff where we hike all the time. But the people here are great. I feel like there's hikers of all different ages. And I mean, I've seen young kids like 4 to 8 years old up on the highest summits, which is always inspiring and kind of crazy, because as a kid, that was not something that I was into at all. But it's just fun to see. I mean, almost every time you do a local trail close to your neighborhood or in your city or your hometown, it seems like you'll always run into different friends on the trail. And that's kind of what helped me become the hiker I am, is just following local people and getting inspired by what trails they hit every week. And because of that, it's so easy access that it's easy to go in and hike nonstop throughout the day, in the evenings, on the weekends. So we're lucky in this kind of Salt Lake area of Utah up here in the northern part of the state, is you can drive 10 minutes, 30 minutes, no matter what, and you're at the base of the mountain or you're deep in the canyon to start hiking. So it is really convenient, and it's also very welcoming by all the amazing outdoorsy people that are kind of centered around here.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like all my time hiking in and around Utah, super friendly people, super friendly locals. You know, there's so many beautiful national parks there in Utah, the Big Five, but you guys also have some amazing state parks and national forests. What would you say are some of your favorite places to go day hiking at?
My most frequent places to go day hiking are probably American Fork Canyon and Mill Creek Canyon. American Fork Canyon is just one of the prettiest places. We kind of chatted earlier, but it has one of my favorite trails, favorite mountains on it, Timpanogos. And there's so many other places to hike. When you're in that canyon, it connects to the next canyon over, which is Provo Canyon, through this 23-mile long road called the Alpine Loop, which is a super beautiful hotspot for fall colors. And it's a really popular drive. So the roads can get a little backed up in the fall because everyone wants to go see those beautiful fall colors. But that's just one thing that's just so amazing about that area, is everyone knows it's one of the most beautiful places to see just about anything. And then Mill Creek Canyon is a big one too. It's a little bit closer to Salt Lake. And that one is super dog friendly. You're allowed to have your dogs off leash on odd days. And then on even days, you have to keep them on a leash. And I believe bikers are allowed to use the trail. So kind of nice on and off schedule that you can count on having those rules followed. And there's just so many beautiful hikes, no matter which way or which stop you turn. Mill Creek Canyon will have some amazing peaks, some lakes, beautiful trails, mild to hard, and those are probably the ones we frequent the most.
You know, one place that caught my attention, Mac, that comes up on your feed frequently, and it caught my attention because I think there's bison roaming around there, and that's Antelope State Park. What's been your experiences there?
Yes, and
is that really bison?
Yeah, they are. I think it's nicknamed a little mini Yellowstone, maybe just by myself, but I feel like a lot of the locals think that way as well. It's such a unique place. I was there just last night to watch the sunset, and it's gorgeous. And it's kind of a crazy spot. We timed it yesterday and it took us less than 30 minutes to drive out there from our house. And it's this beautiful island state park that has, bison free roaming. It's got antelope, rabbits, coyotes, all kinds of different birds. They've got deer. It's truly just kind of the wild, wild west out there. And the best times to visit Antelope Island State Park are definitely like late September to kind of late April, the off-season months. When you go in the middle of the summer, it's super hot. There's no water and these biting gnats will come out. And when I say biting gnats, I mean millions and millions of swarming biting gnats that you cannot even open your eyes to see. So if you're visiting in the summer, they recommend you bring a very fine mesh head mat so that you can block those. But other than that, there's incredible views and it's right in the middle of the Great Salt Lake, which is why it's called an island-ish. There's a causeway road to get out there and it's just stunning. They have a really great peak that you can bag as well as many other hikes. You just got to be careful because those free roaming bison might be right around the corner, but that just adds to how unique and special it is for a place to visit.
Yeah, your pictures have been truly incredible from across that state park. You know, one thing that was on everyone's minds last year this time was the epic snowfall that hit the West and the Southwest. And from your feed, the winter months don't slow you down and you get to enjoy the outdoors just as much as you probably do during the other months. How would you say your winter hiking season was this year?
I'd say it's pretty good. I definitely, when it's later into the winter, I get pretty antsy for the warmer weather and I'm ready for more sunshine, but I definitely like to take advantage of the winter months. We might as well. And what's so cool about winter hiking, especially around here, is you can visit most of the same trails that you would visit in the other seasons. And it adds this kind of new, different, unique feel to it because you get to see what it looks like completely covered in snow. All the waterfalls, or most of the waterfalls, will be frozen. So it'll add this very cool look when you get to see the frozen water compared to the rushing rivers or, you know, these massive waterfalls spraying all over the place, having the beautiful icicles. So winter hiking took me a lot to get used to. I definitely didn't and still have a problem with snow and the cold, but having those winter adventures and just telling myself it'll be worth it and it'll be beautiful. And I want to see everything the world has to offer at least once. So I might as well go out in every season to see all the unique places, just looking a little different, being a little bit colder.
For sure. And, you know, one way to kind of beat the cold is by finding some great hot springs. And you got a chance to visit a hot spring. And, you know, what caught my attention was at least in one of the little pools, it was a very like turquoisey blue color.
Yeah.
What's been your experiences hiking to some of the local hot springs there in your area?
That's one thing about winter hiking that is the best, is getting to a hot spring and taking a nice warm soak. The hot springs I think you're referencing are the Fifth Water Hot Springs, which is a little south. It's probably about maybe even an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Salt Lake, but it's kind of near Spanish Fork, the city in Utah County. You just kind of go into the canyon, and in the winter, a gate does close, which adds a couple miles round trip to the hike. But it's this beautiful hot springs pods that they turn a beautiful turquoisey blue color. And it's cool because when you get there, there's a lot of different pools that you can sit in. And kind of depending on how far up you go, it'll get hotter. So you can kind of pick which one is the best temperature for you. It does get a little crowded, but once you get your own little pod in and get to just hang out on a cold day in the nice hot springs, it makes it really fun. And it is so, so beautiful to see the colors of the water in the winter time. I have also been there in the spring, summer. It wasn't as magical as it is in the winter, but it is still beautiful to see all the greenery around the trails too.
Talking about spring, I think you guys are probably seeing signs of spring, and especially the wildflowers starting to come out. And that's always a pleasant sight to see during the spring months, especially after a long winter. Yeah. Are there any spring hikes that you're looking forward to exploring this season?
Yeah. You know, I just enjoy spring hiking in general. So I'll go anywhere and everywhere once the grass starts turning green and it gets warmer. But my favorite place to go in the springtime is kind of called the foothills, which is just the lower elevation. Yeah, foothills, especially near Salt Lake City. Closer trails, kind of more mild. It's not very steep. You don't gain too much elevation on the foothills, but they have these beautiful yellow wildflowers that will bloom. It's the first areas to turn green. And because you're so close to the city, it's super quick to access. So it makes it a shorter drive and super fun because you can do a lot of different connector trails to make them longer or shorter if you want. There's one in particular called the Wild Rose Trail, which is in the Bountiful Salt Lake area. And yeah, it just takes you right over the foothills. You get to see the Salt Lake City skyscrapers and all the beautiful sights around, with the mountains on one side and the valley and cities on one. And it's really beautiful with the flowers. So I go everywhere I can in spring, but the foothills, kind of lower elevation, which turn rainbow the first time, those are the ones I hit the most.
That sounds beautiful. And I think very much like here in the Pacific Northwest, the spring also means the spring runoff from the mountains. And you were talking about being able to see some of those waterfalls frozen. And the springtime also means that they're just bursting with volume as far as water. You've shown some incredible waterfall hikes on your feed. Are there any in particular that you've had some memorable experiences over the years?
Definitely. Yeah, waterfalls are definitely one of the best parts about spring. Spring is my favorite season because of all the life and the water and just how lively everything is. But my favorite waterfalls, one of them is called Horsetail Falls, which I think is in Highland, Utah. And it's a moderately tough hike, but it takes you to this beautiful waterfall that's kind of skating down these rocks. So it's not a full vertical one, but it's really, really beautiful and really big. And when that water gets rushing, it creates this spray that will just go for what feels like miles, but definitely shorter. But it's so fun to stand at the bottom and then you just get this spray of water. It kind of makes it exhilarating and exciting. But that one is really beautiful. And I just happen to hike that one once or twice a year. It's probably one of my most visited trails here. I don't know really how it happened, but every time someone suggests going on a hike, either a new friend or family member or friend that visits me, usually we end up visiting Horsetail Falls just because it's like right about 4 miles long, so it's not too long, and it gets you to one of the most beautiful places to see that waterfall. So it just happens to be one that I love to show people to visit if they're coming for the first time. And then another staple waterfall for this area is definitely Stewart Falls, which is on Mount Timpanogos in Utah County. That one is massive. I don't know how tall it is, but it is just gorgeous. Looks like it has two sections when you look at it, and it just goes as high as the eye can see. It's super pretty. A lot of families hike it. It's kind of a more family-friendly trail to bring kiddos and dogs on as well. So that one is equally as beautiful.
Do they ever dry out during the late summer, early fall, or are they always running, you know, every season?
You know, I think they're always running. Those ones, because they're so big and the mountains above them have so much snowpack throughout the year, I want to say they never dry up just because of how massive they are. They definitely start trickling a little less in the late summer months, but every time I've done it, there's water there. So you can almost guarantee that you'll be able to see the waterfalls if you visit either of those in any season.
And you've mentioned this place already, and this is another place that caught my attention, and that's Mount Timpanogos. And correct me if I'm saying that wrong. Is it Timpanogos?
Timpanogos. I'm assuming it's Timpanogos, but yeah.
It just looks out of this world. You know, some of the pictures look like something that you would see in the Alps or even like in Iceland. And this place, I feel like, has a special place in your heart. And, you know, I'm surprised how geographically diverse it is, because, you know, you geotag it on your posts, but just the different areas that you've been able to share just show diversity of the area. What's it been like hiking in that area, and what kind of keeps you going back?
Mount Timpanogos is dear to my heart, I think, because it's one where I've hiked all my life. It was one of my mom's favorite places to visit as she grew up very close to it. So the little trails along that mountain we visited every summer, such as Stewart Falls. On the other side is Scout Falls, another beautiful waterfall. And I think because I've hiked it so often as a kid, it just has this little piece of me attached to it. And for that reason, it's very nostalgic every time I hike on that trail. And one of the best parts about Mount Timpanogos as a whole is it has so many amazing features to it. I mean, they have a cave system that you can book a tour and visit. It's this massive cave in the mountain that has what's called the Heart of Timpanogos. It's this beautiful, you know, stalagmites, stalactites. So cool to see and book that tour. So it has a beautiful cave system. There's, I mean, tens, if not hundreds of waterfalls. On the hike to the summit on one side, the Aspen Grove side, you will just kind of switch back across this same waterfall multiple times. You'll get to go right underneath the water, just pass right through it and next to it. So you pass so many waterfalls on the way to the summit. And there's also the alpine lake on it called Emerald Lake. And then the other best part is there's really cute white mountain goats up top that hang out in the basin area where there's also tons of wildflowers. So the beauty of that mountain is just, yeah, it's otherworldly and it takes my breath away every time I visit it. So for that reason, and for how tough it can be to hike all the way to the summit, it's just one of those that make you feel really accomplished and excited when you, you know, meet that challenge and you get to check one off your list. I try to do it at least once a year. My goal is to do it an extra time every summer than I did the last year. So I hiked it about 2.5 times last year. So my goal is to hike it 3 times this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the mountain goats, because you have a really awesome picture of a little family of mountain goats just chilling with a gorgeous background. One of the other posts from the mountain that caught my attention, is there a structure at the summit that you can kind of chill at, or felt like there was something there? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's nicknamed by us locals, I guess, called the Shack. That's what I've called it growing up, is just, did you make it to the Shack? No, you know, you can make it to the saddle of the mountain and then you go about a mile or so up and you get to the Shack. It's just kind of this metal hut. It's got 4 sides to it, but a little window in between and a, you know, kind of triangle pyramid top. And it's really cool because it's just a hub for everyone that accomplishes that mountain. There's a log book, of course. It seems like every couple years they repaint the inside and then everyone just kind of signs their name all over it and bring flags to tie on it. So it's a cool little place for locals to visit. And yeah, that's one of those trails where you'll see all kinds of people doing it. Seeing young kids, it's very, very young, got to be 4 or 5 years old summiting that mountain. And it's like, it can be over 14 miles round trip and it gains almost 5,000 feet of elevation. And that it's definitely a big day hike for people to go up to the top, but it is really cool when you make it up there and it makes it, yeah, just a fun experience to see the views from there.
Yeah, I have it on my Google Maps and All Trails list. Next time I'm in Salt Lake City, I definitely want to check that out. You know, I wouldn't be doing Utah justice if I didn't talk about its big 5 national parks.
And yes, of course.
You've had a chance to visit all of them. Can you describe or share with us some memorable experiences from each one of them?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of crazy because I'm turning 26 this year. And the first time I ever even went to a national park was a year ago, last January.
Wow.
So it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I even went to a national park. And it was Bryce Canyon. And it was with my husband. We just booked a little tiny cabin stay and we went for the weekend. Being in Salt Lake City area, we're super lucky to be within a few hours drive of all of these parks, the whole Mighty Five. So we just take weekend trips all the time. And Bryce Canyon was especially beautiful in the winter, seeing the amphitheater filled with snow and seeing the cotton candy sunset as it sets above it was one of the best sights I've ever seen. And I think because it was my first ever time being in a national park, it just felt super surreal and beautiful. We had a really great time and it just seeing that park for the first time. So Bryce Canyon will always be dear to my heart for that reason. And then the second park in Utah that I went to was Arches National Park, which is in Moab. And we actually only spent one day there, but of course I got to see the most important arch, which is on the Utah license plate. And I always forget the name of it. I can't even think of it right now, but there's a lot of great hikes. Yes, there we go. Delicate Arch, that one. It's a really awesome hike. I'm surprised at how steep it was, but you know, seeing that Delicate Arch, which is a Utah staple, a national park staple, really, in person is super cool at how big it is. So seeing that one was a great check off because, you know, living in Utah, seeing all the license plate as you drive around, you want to see that arch that's posted everywhere. So that was super fun. And then the third park that I went to was Capitol Reef. And Capitol Reef National Park is actually my favorite of all five. It's pretty underrated, I feel like, but I went with some girlfriends and we had a weekend trip where we just camped. They have a lot of BLM free dispersed camping very close to the park entrance. So we camped for the weekend and we hit a couple of the best trails. My favorite of the trails in Capitol Reef was one called the Sulphur Creek Trail, and it's about 6 miles long. It's recommended to park two cars, one at the end, one at the beginning, so that you can have a ride back, because it would be 12 miles round trip if you went backwards. But the other thing is you follow this river wash and these little mini waterfalls down this canyon the whole time. And it was so cool. It was one of the most fun times I've ever had on a trail with these friends. We actually did not plan to do it completely because we knew we would have to get wet. Because it follows the river, you have to plan to have wet shoes. And we didn't really want our hiking boots to be soaking wet the rest of the day. It messed up probably the next 2 days. But when we started, we kind of dived into the idea about wading through and, oh, maybe we could do this. Let's give it a shot. And at that point, we all had just kind of jumped in the water and accepted the fact that we would be wet and going from there. So that one was really fun. At the very end, you actually have to slide down this little waterfall and get into this pool. Yeah, it was just a blast. So highly recommend the Sulphur Creek Route Trail in Capitol Reef if you ever visit. And yeah, what other parks are there here? We've got Oak Canyon Lands. That's another kind of underrated one. I visited that 2 days before New Year's this year. As I said, wow. My first ever national park was last year in 2023 in January. And by the end of the year, I wanted to finish all five in 1 year because why not? So my husband agreed to wake up early, drive 4 hours to Canyonlands, hang out in the park, hitting a few trails for a few hours. And then we drove back before the end of the night so that I could check that off my bucket list too. So that one was really beautiful. And then of course the staple number five was Zion National Park. And that one I also did in the winter of last year for the first time. I'm hoping to go back here in a few weeks as well. That park is really beautiful and I can't wait to see it without the snow, but we did hike it, me and two other girlfriends last year. We did Angel's Landing in the snow for the first time, and it was really cool. A little bit sketchy. Of course, that's one of the sketchier trails that have those cliff drop-offs, and especially in the snow and the ice along the trail, it was an extra challenge, but similarly, we just had a blast, and I'm so glad I got to see it. It was beautiful, and now I am a firm national park adventurer. I can't wait to check every single one off my list, even though I've gotten five down. I have many to go, but yeah, I'm excited to keep road tripping and see the rest.
Yeah, what incredible experiences to be able to knock it out in 1 year. And Mac, I don't blame you for, you know, not going to them right away because Utah just has so many great state parks and national forests. And you've been able to share through your feeds some of these spectacular places. Now, when it comes to recreational areas outside of the Mighty Five, do you have any favorite state parks or national forests that you like to explore?
Yeah. So one of my favorite places to visit is the Uintas, which I believe is called the Uinta Wasatch Cache National Forest. It's huge, so I think it encompasses millions of miles of trails and forest areas. That one is in, it's right below Wyoming, so it's still northern Utah, and it's about a 2-hour drive to get deep into the forest where you can really start hiking from Salt Lake City. And the Uintas are stunning to see because you're in such high elevation. The greenery lasts a long time. But the coolest part about the Uintas is that there are hundreds of lakes within feet of each other, really. There's one trail that I actually haven't done quite yet. I've done parts of it, but not the whole loop yet. But in the Uintas, there's one trail that takes you on, I think it's somewhere in the 20 to 30 lakes range, because you get to just walk next to all these different lakes, all different sizes. You get to see all sorts of things, and the flowers are beautiful. The Uintas are just really special, and you feel like you're really out in the middle of nowhere while you're out there in the Uintas because of how crazy it looks. I mean, it's beautiful, but when you get up to a high point, you can just see all these blue dots everywhere you turn because of how many lakes there are. Yeah, that place is stunning. It's a bit of a far drive, so sometimes it's more worth it to do a camping trip so that you can really stay out there and take it all in, but it is quite beautiful to see. But yeah, there's so many more and so many more I haven't seen yet that I need to check off my list. Similar to national parks, the state parks here in Utah are pretty great.
No, definitely. And last year was an epic year for you because not only did you knock out the Mighty Five, but you did something that really caught my attention that was incredible by knocking out 5 10,000 footers in a single day. Can you share a little bit about how that kind of came about and what was your experiences on the trail that day?
Yeah, so I think I saw someone else's post about hitting 3 peaks in a day in that same area, and it inspired me to do the same. So I kind of did some trail research. The trail in particular, it's up by Brighton Ski Resort, which is up Big Cottonwood Canyon, right near Salt Lake City. It's one of the prettiest places to visit for sure, winter and summer, for those that like skiing or snowboarding. But in the summer, there's 3 staple lakes called, I believe it's Mary, Martha, and Catherine Lakes. And then there's also a bonus lake called Twin Lakes. But you basically start at the trailhead at Brighton Ski Resort, and then you go up. And yeah, there's a couple peaks in this Brighton Cirque, they call it, where there's a trail that goes to each one. And I was just like, let's do as many peaks as I can. Why not? Let's get some trail running in and hiking in. Sadly, it's in a watershed, so I wasn't able to bring my dog on this one, but it was pretty special to do it solo and just see what I could do. The first peak, which was at, right about 10,400 feet, and then it takes you to Patsy Marley Peak, which is 10,500 feet, and then Mount Wolverine was 10,700 feet, and then there was another one that has kind of an odd name that I don't even remember, but then it takes you over and you can do a kind of a last optional one called Sunset Peak, which a lot of people go to. And that one was kind of off the route, but I wanted to do a number 5. So I went out and back to join back on the loop and go down the lakes on the way back. So yeah, it was really, really beautiful. And I love challenging myself physically, mentally, and that was kind of the first time I've ever done multiple peaks in a day. And because I was all by myself, I was, you know, had a lot of thoughts in my head that I was able to think with and dive into. And it was just really fun. And I feel like I definitely grew as far as my outdoorsy experience. That trail really gave me confidence that I could keep doing this and that I could do hard things. And because of that, it was a very special day. And yeah, I loved having a picture of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 with my fingers on each peak that I did so that I could remember each one. And it was really fun.
For listeners, please check out Mac's Instagram because she has a post with each one of the peaks that she did. And how awesome that it kind of came about through the community that's on Instagram and on social media. Do you find a lot of inspiration on new outdoor experiences based on individuals that you follow?
Definitely, yes. In fact, back when I started hiking on my own those many years ago, that's when I decided to create an Instagram to document all my adventures I was having so that I could do the same, you know, share these beautiful places with the world and meet new friends. I now have a great group of hiking friends that I get to do weekly adventures with, as well as different overnight trips. And it wouldn't have happened if not for social media, meeting different locals and seeing which hikes they liked and getting used to different peaks and trails. Of course, All Trails is wonderful to find new hikes and kind of research the distance and difficulty of these hikes. But seeing all these local people and what they can accomplish and what routes they find or which ones they frequent more often, that's really inspiring to me. And that's kind of what helped me be confident enough to create my own routes on different hikes. Because in the past, I definitely would not have been comfortable with that. You know, I don't want to go off trail at all. I don't want to get lost. I want to be keen on my safety. But now that I have this confidence and this experience with being in the outdoors more, I'm more equipped and more confident to go off route, track, of course, with GPS so that I am still safe. But the whole explore and hike aspect of it is really special to me because that's what I want to achieve. I want to see all these beautiful sights. I want to just enjoy being out in nature. And these people online through social media, Instagram, they inspire me to do the same and try out different places. And that's also what I want to share with people.
Yeah, you and me both. And a lot of the places that I've gone to, especially in Utah over the last 2 years, have been a direct correlation with people that I follow on Instagram or people that I've talked to on the podcast. It's really been able to expand my outdoor experiences because some of these places, they're not on All Trails. They're not as popular as some of the other places. So it's really great to be able to go outside of the national park system and explore the beauty that each state has, you know, whether it's state parks or just recreational areas has been really motivated to get outdoors more for me as well. Now, Mac, one thing that Utah has is that its neighboring states are also known for its beauty. You've mentioned, you know, being near the Wyoming border, and then Idaho is just right above you guys, and you know, you're surrounded by Nevada and Arizona. What have been your experiences going to neighboring states? And then also, you went outside of the continental United States and visited what is probably on the top of many of hikers' bucket lists for the U.S., and that's Alaska. What have been your experiences outside of Utah?
Of course, Alaska was kind of a dream come true trip. It wasn't necessarily only for hiking, so I didn't see a lot of things that are on many people's bucket list, but I did get to see the wonder of Alaska, which is huge. First, of course, the neighboring states to Utah are beautiful. It's so nice to be able to drive just a few hours and be in a new state where we are a little bit north of Salt Lake City. Idaho is one of, I think, the most underrated states, maybe. Until you've been there, you don't realize that Idaho has more than just flat land with a couple people on it. You don't realize how beautiful it is until you're out there. But I've visited Caribou National Forest, I believe it's called, in Idaho, just four-wheeling around the mountain and going camping. And that was super fun. One of the funnest trips that I've taken was with my girlfriends, and we went up to Driggs, Idaho, which is very close to, I think, Targhee is what it's called. It's close to Wyoming where the Tetons are. Driggs, Idaho was really beautiful. There's a hike there called the Darby Wind Caves that takes you across this gorgeous terrain and up into a cave that has water rushing through and down it, which is super, super cool. Yeah. And then Alaska, of course, is epic. And I can't wait for the time I get to go back and visit the national parks that are in Alaska, because that is a huge bucket list item for, like you said, so many people. My husband and I got to go to Alaska last fall. We landed in Juneau. We spent a day in Juneau exploring the Mendenhall Glacier, which was super cool. And then the next day we took the ferry out to Skagway, where we stayed for probably like a week. It was kind of an unconventional trip. I actually just joined my husband on a hunting trip. So it was really cool to see him in action. And we luckily knew some amazing locals that he was friends with that hosted us and kind of showed us around the cool spots. We did the Dewey Lakes hike, which is one of the best ones. A lot of people off those cruise ships go to that one because it's so close to town. We also explored a place called Lost Lake. And then we did this insanely strenuous hike called Goat Lake, which it's not really on the maps. I think because we had a local friend, he kind of got us into this private area because he worked there. And we just followed this pipeline straight up this mountain. I mean, it was less than 2 miles, and I think we gained close to 2,000 feet elevation. So it was,
oh boy,
this gnarly steep hike. And we backpacked, so we had these huge packs on, and we were hunting, so we had a lot of extra weighty gear on our backs. But it was really, really beautiful. Alaska is just green everywhere. The ground is almost spongy because of how dense it is and how much growth it has everywhere. We got up to this beautiful Goat Lake, which had this very turquoisey color, these huge, very jagged mountain peaks next to it. We actually slept in a shipping container that was up there for the electricians, I guess, that visited up there if they ever needed to. So it was really cool. It was kind of a unique experience, but it really gave me a taste of just the beauty and vastness of Alaska. And of course, probably the best part of that trip was the day before we left, where we got to see some grizzly bears in the wild, which A, was very scary, but B, was just amazing. We saw this mama grizzly with these two cubs walking down the train tracks. We were kind of hidden where they couldn't see us, and they were coming a little bit towards us. They couldn't see, so we were staying out of sight, but we just got to watch them for a few minutes out in the wild. And that was the first time I've ever seen a bear in the wild, other than maybe a zoo. So it was exhilarating, and we have ridden that high months later.
Oh man, what an awesome experience. Yeah, I think seeing a grizzly in the wild is on, you know, high on my bucket list. But like you said, it's one of those things where it's like from a healthy distance, you know, not disturbing them.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. You got to see a mom and her cubs, you know, up close and seeing them just in their natural environment. That's awesome. Talking about animals, you've mentioned them a little bit at the beginning of the podcast, but you have a special four-legged hiking partner that joins you on many of your trails. Can you share a little bit about your adventure pup and how he does out on the trails?
Absolutely. He is the best hiking partner I could ask for. My dog Kenai is his name, very Alaskan name. That's actually part of the reason why we love Alaska so much, is because of our dog's name, but we named him that because of my husband's love for Alaska. So kind of ties right in. But yeah, my dog Kenai, he's a mutt. He is a husky pit bull mastiff mix. We got him when we lived in Oklahoma. He was $75 and he is priceless now, but he helped us start hiking. We wanted to give him this life outside of our apartment and outside of our daily walk. So I started taking him on the hiking trails I wanted to visit every week. And ever since then, I bring him with me anywhere I go. He's a great hiking partner. He just kind of knows. He just knows his stuff. He's pretty independent. He wants to lead the way. He's always a few paces in front of me. And if he gets too far, I call him back, but he'll always just kind of look back at me, make sure I'm still on my way, and then he can continue. And he has a lot of pup friends that he hikes with. That's how I actually made a lot of my outdoorsy friends, was through a Facebook group for people with their dogs here in Utah. So through that, my dog has made a many friends, and so have I. But yeah, having him on the trail with me is just so special. It helps with the company in itself, but it also gives me that motivation to keep going. Because if he's a couple paces ahead of me, I don't want to stop. I want to stay up with him and make sure I have control of him. And for that reason, he helps me continue. And he just livens up when he's in the outdoors, just as I do. It's pretty special to see how excited he gets when he's able to roam freely in the world. And for that reason, it's so amazing to bring him with me because I just know how happy it makes him. And yeah, he just makes exploring the outdoors so much better. And I love bringing him everywhere I can with me, which is kind of why I don't frequent the big and little Cottonwood Canyons, which are watersheds as much because they don't allow dogs. So I still have a lot of bucket list hikes in those canyons I need to hit, but I just have this mom dog guilt when I have to leave him at home, because the second I put my hiking pack on, he is ready at the door to go with me.
He already knows.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And I don't know if it's the Facebook group, Mac, but you've done some like specific hikes that were a part of individuals that had like pups. It was almost like a hiking with dogs meetup, right?
Yeah. It was through the Facebook. I think it was a version of it. Hiking with Dogs in Utah specifically was the Facebook group I was part of. And ever since then, I just have so many different dog friends that we hang out outside of hiking, but most of our relationship is centered around our shared love for dogs. A couple weeks ago, one of my greatest friends, her name is Alicia. She has a blog called Girl on a Hike. So she's very knowledgeable about which trails can have dogs. And she's gone all over the state of Utah camping and hiking. And she's really one who brought us all together. And she hosted a doggy birthday hike a few weeks ago for her pup, Charlie. And we had, I think, 10 to 12 dogs on the trail with us. And it was just this big pack walk and it was a blast. They got a workout in because they were just chasing each other down the trail the whole time, but it was really fun.
And that was for her pup's birthday?
Yeah, her dog turned, I think, 11 or so. He's getting up there. And so, yeah, it was a doggy birthday party. So we are little cuckoo dog moms.
No, I love it. Hope to see more of that here on our local trails because that sounds pretty awesome. Mac, we're getting towards the end of the regular questions. This one is about some hiking routines. And, you know, I feel like a lot of hikers have a regular routine, whether it's at the summit, maybe it's at the end of the hike. For some, it's just packing a favorite snack or drink. For others, it's a moment of zen. And then for a few, it's, you know, looking forward to the meal afterwards. Is there any regular customs or routines that you do when you reach your destination or maybe when you make it back out?
You know, I am probably pretty boring in this aspect, but I don't have too much of a ritual when I get to my destination. I do pack a good snack and that's when I eat it because I have a few moments to finally relax and take it all in. So I do like pack in a protein bar or sometimes a nectarine really hits the spot. But I would say the best part about a ritual as far as after hiking, I love hitting a good burger and drink afterwards, whether directly on the way home because I can't wait, or maybe a little bit after just when I've winded down. But yeah, having a nice greasy meal with a cold drink, whether that be a Diet Coke or a nice brew, that's probably the best part.
I can agree with you there. And I don't know what it is about a post-hike burger and beer. It just tastes different. I've gone to restaurants outside of like hiking and it's like, oh, this wasn't as good as I remember. So maybe there's a little extra seasoning when it comes to post-hike meal.
Definitely, yeah.
Now, this next question is about your pack list. You know, we always like to carry our essentials, but is there any luxury items that you tend to pack that falls out of the essentials list that you can share with us?
I don't pack too many luxury items. I keep it pretty minimal. I try my best to carry a pack of tissues, which ain't very luxury, but those are a necessity that I've learned I have to have. I do love a good tube of chapstick to have. It has to be minty though, because that's somehow what feels the best. And other than that, as long as I have a pop-up dog bowl for my dog's water and my phone so that I can take pictures, maybe a little bit of water, I guess, but Other than that, I'm pretty minimal when it comes to packing.
You know, you had an epic 2023 with your adventures. Do you have any hiking or travel goals for 2024 that you can share with us?
Yes. One of my biggest 2024 goals is to run a trail race. I am planning to run two actually this year that I've registered for, and it's a little nerve-wracking, but I've actually never ran a professional race before. So this will be a first for me, and doing a trail race rather than a road race is a little big step, but I am super excited to give that a go. And then of course, I'd also love to visit some national parks outside of Utah. I have Great Basin in mind, as well as Death Valley, and of course, the Tetons and Yellowstone and Glacier. Sure, those are all kind of my top bucket list items for now. So hopefully I'll get out of the state of Utah, but I also am planning to do a lot of different training for those trail races this year.
Well, I look forward to seeing all your updates this year, from your trail races to your travels and visits to other national parks and continuing exploring the great state of Utah that you have. That was it for the regular questions, Mac. This last portion of the podcast is the this or that questions. I'm going to give you two hiking related topics, and you just choose the one that you prefer out of the two. So the first one is, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
I am definitely going with steep incline. As torturous as it can be, I want to save my knees, so I will go for that any day.
Now this one's a tough one, but waterfalls or summits?
This is really tough. You've put me in a hard position. I'd have to go with summits. There's nothing quite like seeing all the views around you from one of the highest points you can be at. And it's something really special about feeling really small in the world. Like your problems don't matter as much when you have this beauty and vastness all around you from the earth. So I'm definitely a summit gal.
And this one's a trail system question, but do you prefer a trail with switchbacks or straight up?
I'll have to go with switchbacks. I love a challenge, but having the switchbacks makes it a lot more enjoyable.
And then do you rock trek poles or do you prefer to be freehand?
I prefer to be freehanded. I like to take pictures and grab different things, and I tend to be a little clumsy, so I like to have my hands free in case I need to grab anything.
Are you rocking hiking boots or did you switch over to trail runners?
I have switched over to trail runners for the last year. Before that, I was a ride or die in my hiking boots. I'll still throw them on for the occasional really unstable or kind of more extreme hike, maybe bouldering. I prefer to have that extra ankle support. But the trail runners, once I switched over, I realized how light and easy they were. So I'm a trail runners for now, but I do keep my hiking boots for needed situations.
And this was another hiking trail system question, but do you prefer a hike with a loop trail or an out back trail?
I don't know how controversial this might be, but I kind of like the out and backs better. I do love the loops because the whole time you get to see something new. Each site is brand new, whereas the out and backs, you're seeing what you saw coming up. However, I feel like on the loops, I kind of miss out on the views going backwards. I feel like I'm turning around all the time. So while I do love a loop hike, I think the out and backs are fun because you get to see the views that you had coming up from a different angle. Similarly, if you're hiking in the dark and you're doing a sunrise hike or you have to start early, the out and backs give you that same view and you get to see it in the light. So
this next one is about your water system. Do you carry just a regular water bottle or do you prefer a Camelback or water reservoir?
I do prefer a Camelback or a water bladder to have. It's just so convenient to take a sip out anytime you need rather than getting a full bottle out. But I will say I do usually pack a bottle of Body Armor or some kind of electrolyte drink that I drink either at the destination or kind of on the way down.
And these two get really hard, Mac, but sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
Oh, I have thought about this a couple times. I'm going to go with sunrise, and that's kind of similar to the out and back question, but in the sunrise, usually you're starting in the dark and you get to see the sun come up, which means your hike usually finishes in the light and you have the rest of your day left. And I love a good sunset, but I prefer to finish a hike when it's still light out, if at all possible. So for that reason, I have to go with the sunrise.
And then spring wildflowers or fall colors?
This is also so tough, but I do love the spring season, so I'm gonna have to go with wildflowers. I actually centered my wedding around wildflowers that you see on Timpanogos and in different places of this Utah Wasatch range. So for that reason, I love wildflowers, and seeing them is just so exciting. Anytime you're on a trail and you see this beautiful rainbow grove of flowers, it's so beautiful. It's so fun. You feel like you're in this Sound of Music-esque place. Of course, waterfalls and different things are beautiful, and the fall colors are immaculate, especially so close to home. But yeah, those flowers, they're just the way they bloom and give life to the area is one of the best parts about hiking in those seasons.
Now, this last one is another hiking trail system question, but do you prefer a hike that's long and gradual or a short and steep one?
I probably prefer a long, gradual hike. Usually it's a little bit more enjoyable when you're not raising your heart rate to a scary degree or you can't catch your breath. There's something about, you know, accomplishing a really steep, hard hike that makes you feel super good about yourself and proud. But having that gradual hike makes it a bit more enjoyable. And I think you get to take in the views and the vibe and the nature around you a little bit better when you're just enjoying yourself, going a little bit more of a steady pace on those gradual hikes.
That was it for the this or that questions, Mac. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast. For listeners that haven't had a chance to follow your adventures online, what are some of the places on social media that they can follow you at?
Yeah, so I am most frequently on Instagram at Explore and Hike, just the one word. So Instagram is where I love to connect the most with people. I also do have a website, exploreandhike.com, where I kind of just post blogs and have all my information and photos stored in a little scrapbook type of thing. So Instagram and that website are the best to kind of keep up with me and follow up. Of course, I have TikTok, same name, Explore and Hike, but Instagram is going to be the most up-to-date information, and I'm on that the most. So if anyone wants to connect, I'll respond fastest there and share the best photos there.
Yeah, we'll be sure to share those links on the episode show notes so people can follow along. Mac, it has been awesome talking with you today. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your experiences, and I look forward to what 2024 has to offer for you.
Thank you. Yeah, you as well. I appreciate you having me on and being such a great host. So I'm excited to see how this next season goes.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Mac. We extend a heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram at Explore and Hike. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes for more. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the spring months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.